Almighty God, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So on the second Sunday of Advent every year, we have the opportunity to hear about John the Baptist. You all probably know that there are 400 years of silence between the prophets and the time of Jesus' coming, between the last book of the Bible, Malachi, and the birth of Christ. And so there's no prophetic word or no prophets that are being active or prophetic writings that are being made until John the Baptist shows up. He's a prophet, but more than a prophet, it says. And so we could read the Gospels, but it's hard to read them without fully and clearly understanding that they don't start with Jesus. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels start with John the Baptist, with the last of the Old Testament prophets. He's a very strange guy, this John the Baptist, in every way imaginable. He lived in the wilderness, he lived off the wilderness, and he was clothed by the wilderness. Apparently, he lived in a cave beside the Dead Sea in the Judean wilderness. And he ate locusts and wild honey, and he clothed himself with camel skin. I mean, everything about him was weird. And no wonder people from all over the countryside, all over the place, from Jerusalem, Judea, and all the surrounding area around the Jordan River, it says, people came to hear this odd man and to be baptized by him. All of this took place in the Jordan, or beside the Jordan, or in the Jordan River. Many Pharisees and Sadducees were coming to the River Jordan because it was a significant place, a deeply significant place for the people of Israel. So many important things happened there at the River Jordan. 400 years earlier, 400 years, they were in captivity under Egypt. And then finally, God allowed the Israelites to be released, to come into the wilderness. And then for 40 years, they're in the wilderness. And they're wandering around in the Sinai wilderness for all of those years. And all of that brought them to the point, the edge of the River Jordan. And as they're at the edge, just about ready to cross in, Joshua's about ready to lead them, the priest comes and he touches the water with the Ark of the Covenant. And you remember what happens? The waters part, and the people of Israel finally are able to enter into the promised land. And it would be impossible for a Jew to hear this story, this gospel lesson today, and not remember something right here happened not so long ago that was very significant. And so with Joshua's leading, he led the Israelites from the wilderness across the River Jordan into the land of promise, from the wilderness where there's rocks and sand and snakes and not very good food, across the Jordan to a land flowing with milk and honey, from bondage into freedom. It's what they had hoped for all of those years. From the death into life. Remember that a whole generation died in the wilderness. And so Joshua led the people of God from death into life through the River Jordan. And the priest carried the ark. And when the ark touched the waters parted and they were able to enter in. It's the same place that Elijah had an experience with the King Ahab. And King Ahab was told this prophecy. And God told Elijah, get out of here, go to the River Jordan and beyond so that there will be safety for you. And so he goes to the River Jordan, touches it with his cloak, and the river parts, and he's able to be saved. And later on in his life, it's where he, Elijah, and Elisha go. Please stay with me. I know this is it's such an important place. So it's where Elijah and Elisha go to see Elijah off in this chariot of fire. And they go to the River Jordan, and they touch the water, and the waters part, and both of them are able to go into the land beyond. And then once Elijah goes up into heaven, ascends, Elijah takes Elijah's coat and touches the water, and the waters part, so he can go back into Israel. How could you be there as a Pharisee and as a scribe and not remember all of those things, all of those important events in the life of Israel? And so the River Jordan represents something very significant. It's a line of demarcation between the old and the new. See, when Jesus and John the Baptist are standing there on the side of the River Jordan, or in the River Jordan being baptized, you see that they represent two covenants, two ways of looking at God or getting to God. And we see how the covenant of works is represented by John the Baptist. He's the last of the prophets, isn't he? And the last of the Old Testament prophets. And so he represents the law, the covenant of works. The law and the prophets. It represents the Mosaic covenant and the commandment that says, do this and you'll live. If you just do it, it's a matter of you doing it and you'll live. But standing with him is the representative of the covenant of grace. And it goes on in this passage to say that Jesus was baptized. He didn't need to be, but he was to fulfill all righteousness. And so we see standing side by side the covenant of works and the covenant of grace. The River Jordan doesn't part that day like it did before for Elijah and Elisha and for the Israelites entering into the promised land, but the heavens part, and a voice from heaven proclaims, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And then John the Baptist goes on to speak very clearly about these covenants, about the new covenant. He's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, these Jewish leaders, and he says to them, you're snakes, you're serpents. He says, do you presume to say you have Abraham as your father? It's not enough. You presume to say that just being in the physical line of Abraham is enough? It's not enough. You presume to say that being circumcised is enough. It's not enough. Or keeping the law, it's not enough. In effect, what he's saying is, do you presume that your self-righteous behavior can get you in to the kingdom of God? And I'm here to tell you it's not enough. It takes more than that. Do you think that some of you can obey enough or be good enough or even pray enough or serve enough or read the scriptures enough or and keep going on? and how much is enough? How much could ever be enough? And the scriptures tell us that our righteousness are as filthy rags. Our best efforts are as filthy rags, that all fall short of the glory of God. And so what John the Baptist in this gospel represents, the last of the prophets, is the old covenant of works righteousness. If you just do these things, then God will look down on you and he'll be pleased with you and you'll get in. But that's not enough. What Jesus represents is the new covenant, Abraham's covenant, where he believed God and it was declared to him as righteousness. John the Baptist then goes on to say, I baptize you with water. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. When he comes along, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In effect, what he's saying is, what I have to offer you is a drop compared to the living streams that Jesus will offer you when he comes into your life. We pray this in our prayer of humble access. We say, we do not presume to come to this table, O merciful Lord, trusting what in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. Jesus said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you don't have a chance. We need a righteousness that's not our own, because our own will never measure up, that will help us to get right with God. Thousands of times in the Old Testament, we see how they sacrificed animals, they killed animals for the forgiveness of sins, to cover up their own nakedness, their own shame. Until one day, John the Baptist comes along, he sees Jesus, points to him, and he says, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You see how John the Baptist is critical to the salvation story of the Bible. We don't get the good news of Jesus before we get the law and the prophets represented in John the Baptist. He reminds us that our only hope is in a righteousness beyond our self-righteousness. Our self-righteousness only gets us so far, but never far enough. Our hope is in a righteousness outside of ourselves, the righteousness of a lamb without spot or blemish. John would say, I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals or to carry his sandals. I baptize you with water, but when he comes, he will baptize you, fill you, full to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.